T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Feels good. The weekend is here. I don't exactly know what I'm going to do this weekend, but it will be, I think, a productive one. And by productive, I'm probably going to try to finish the season I'm currently watching on Halt and Catch Fire. And then they only made 4 seasons of that show, so then I'll move on after that. All right, so the weekend is upon us. We keep things flexible, so if there's something that you wanted to talk about, whatever it is, it doesn't matter. 314-436-7900. That's the local number here. Or maybe you're somewhere outside of St. Louis. 800-925-1120. That's how you do it. Go ahead and let me know. Because we like to have some fun. We can do goofy things. I can be goofy. I try not to be. But, you know, actually, I probably fail at that all the time. I'm just overly goofy. What are you doing for Valentine's Day? Do you have an answer for that already? It's less than a month away. So Valentine's Day is, let's see, 1, 2, 3, less than 4 weeks away. Well, yeah, 4. On February 14th, it's a Thursday. Do you go out on the weekend? Do you go out on a date? Let me recommend something. I saw people posting this online. The perfect, perfect Valentine's Day date. Whatever it may be. So for you, you may think, I'll surprise my significant other with some chocolates and, oh, a nice little cooked breakfast in the morning. And I'll put little love notes out. Oh, little flower petals. Oh, everything will be perfect. We'll go out to a fancy dinner at night. Oh, well, some place where there's no dollar menu. And then I'll go to, I'll buy a $30 steak and we'll get a bottle of whatever. And we'll just go out and, you know, let our hair down and come back home and relax without the kids. No worries in the world. Oh, won't that be just wonderful? Nope. Valentine's Day dinner at White Castle actually isn't the worst idea, as the headline from Eater.com. Not Gitter Done, but Eater.com. Does sound like that a little bit. Here's the article that the Whitney Filloon wrote. Says the most commercialized and pointless of all of the consumer holidays is right around the corner. And right on cue, White Castle is now taking reservations for its annual Valentine's Day celebration featuring actual hostesses, themed decor, and table service. Honey, if you're listening, we're going to White Castle this year. And I'm going to guess she's not going to like that. This is such a guy thing. Guys, if you have landed a girl that is okay with going to White Castle on Valentine's Day, that's a keeper right there. You hold on and you do not let go. It says, dining out on Valentine's Day is generally terrible. Overcrowded restaurants, overpriced, mediocre food. I wouldn't say mediocre food. A lot of the places you go to, because there's such a demand, they're trying to crank these out. So they might not put all the level of detail into it. They're just more about, well, we can sacrifice a little bit of the, you know, the experience you get because, you know, we got to get it in and get you out and speed you in and speed you out. There's people waiting. Come on, let's go. Says White Castle might actually be one of your better options if you can't muster up the motivation to cook at home. I'm not a cook at home type of guy. My wife is, she's not a cook at home type of guy, but she is someone that cooks at home. She normally cooks dinner every night. We don't eat out a lot. The only day we actually eat out is Sundays for lunch after church. That's the only time we really go as a family. And she cooks dinner every other night. It's great. She's a good cook. She makes a nice variety of things. But if I were to recommend to her, we're going to White Castle for Valentine's Day, she would say, are you serious? This is the one day a year I want to go out and eat with you, and that's what you're going to do. I don't mind, too. We're an early eater. Someone gave us this recommendation. They said, once you start having kids, you have to really take advantage of the babysitting time. So if you have a babysitter or someone you know that comes and watches your kid, wonderful. This is the little life hack someone told us that we live. They said, forget about going out late at night, because you know what you want to do? You want to go out and come back right around the time you would normally put your kid down for bed. So this is how it works. You go out during the day. There's not as much of a demand. Like, let's say you have a Valentine's dinner at 3 o'clock. Let's make it more of like a late lunch as opposed to a 7 or 8 o'clock when it's super crowded. Okay, great. You're missing the crowds. You don't have to worry about bumping elbows with everyone else. You go and do your stuff. Go see a movie. Go do whatever you want Valentine's Day. You come back. You put the kid down to bed. And then you got the house to yourself again. Kid's sleeping. Boom. What's the point of paying a babysitter if the kid's just going to be sleeping the whole time, right? So do it during the day. They say that's perfect. And the babysitter thinks it's awesome because, oh, they get off early. They get to go do whatever they want. It's late at night. Oh, they can go play with their friends or whatever. Great. Perfect life hack. I wonder if my wife will let me do this. Maybe we can do a dual Valentine's Day. We can do a guy's version of it where I take her to White Castle, and then we'll do the lady's version of it where I treat her to a nice meal, and we spend no less than $60 between the two of us. We don't buy alcohol, so it's, you know, two $30 dinners is normally enough to make us happy. To us, that's super fancy. You might as well have said it's a $100 plate, saying it's a $30 plate. It feels like the same thing to me. I don't think I've ever had a $50 plate of food. Outside of some very rare experiences, like if I want to put down a full rack of ribs and then buy another one to take home, you know, that's a different story. 314-436-7900. I got a couple of other good food stories for you. And around Valentine's Day, there's a lot of proposals. I have this one story about a guy who proposed to his girl. Oh, you're going to love this one. It's Overnight America, KMOX.
It's at the top and bottom of the hour. Mornings and afternoons, KMOX.
You know, someone texted in about the Cohen article on BuzzFeed, and you know, I mentioned this just a little bit ago. I don't put any stock in a BuzzFeed for news, period. Let's look at some of the previous headlines BuzzFeed has come up with. Disney princesses twerking will shatter your childhood. So these are actual articles BuzzFeed has posted. 11. No, let's not read that one. That's dirty. I should have pre-read some of these. Can you make it through this post without feeling sexually attracted to food? That's an article on BuzzFeed. Drunk person accidentally steals cat, posts hilarious Craigslist ad to find owner. 17 parenting tips from Professor Altimum from Powerpuff Girls. The best condom ads from around the world. New political ads is easy. One of the creepiest political ads of all time. You know, these are the type of thing. And what was the other one over here? Top 10 worst cases of man spreading. All right. So when I hear this, I'm not going to take BuzzFeed and use them as someone that is going to be a news organization that I should trust. So I'm going to wait on this. You heard it on CBS News a little bit. I'm just going to wait. I think it's going to take a little while before I start speculating on this stupid BuzzFeed story. All right. There needs to be more there. So the person that texted that in, I mentioned it earlier. You might have missed it, but I thought I'd give it to you here again. Let me get to Tammy, who's calling in. Hey, Tammy, what's going on?
Hey, I got a little food story, Ryan.
I love food stories.
Okay, well, it has to do with a $50 a plate luncheon. And it was back when I was married, and we went to a luncheon for Alan Keyes because he was possibly thinking about running for president.
I like him.
Yeah, I loved him. I would have voted for him in a heartbeat. But we went, and, you know, we paid the $50, and we were all excited to hear him speak. I don't know what the year was. I can't remember exactly, but that gives you the timeline. It was Alan Keyes when he was thinking about running for
president.
So we both get there, and we're excited. And it's like nice china and everything. And so they bring out the salad, and we're excited. It wasn't a huge salad, but it wasn't, it was just kind of like a regular, basic, what I would call a side salad.
Uh-huh.
So we're eating that, and we're enjoying it. And we, after we finished our salad, my husband and I were like, oh, we can't wait for what's going to be next. You know, it's like, and so Alan Keyes was speaking, and we're kind of looking around going, where's the rest of the food? And then after a while, we realized that side salad was the food, and that's what we paid $50 for.
Well, that's how those fundraisers work, Tammy.
Yeah, we didn't know that because we thought, oh, we're, you know, you're shelling out $50. This is going to be the meal. No, you're paying for the chance to hear this guy speak, and a lot of the money's going to him. And you get a little bit of food.
Yeah, so. You're not even paying to hear him speak. What you're doing is you're paying because you like the guy and you want to see him progress his ambition and hope that he gets through, you know, makes it actually onto the national platform
or
whatever.
You know, it was a time out for us together and we were excited and we thought, oh, well, this is great, a good meal. And but we had the dumbest look on our face when we looked at each other and went, I think the salad was the whole meal.
I don't think you could have been the only ones. Now, when you bought the tickets, what did they say? It said meal will be provided?
And they didn't say a salad meal would be provided. They just said meal would be provided, $50 per ticket. So we paid $100. You know, it was $50 a plate.
Did he give a good speech?
Oh, yeah. Well, anything he says. I still go to his website today and read his articles, and I still think he's ticking. He's got it. You know, he's a good guy. But
all right,
you know,
so just, what... We
were talking about the Valentine's thing. That's what made me think, yeah, we had a $50 a plate lunch, and it kind of didn't turn out the way we thought.
How long have you been married for?
Well, I'm not...
Oh, you're not married?
I'm not. I'm divorced now.
Oh, okay.
This is going back in the days of Alan Keyes for president, and I was still married, and that salad was very expensive.
Yes, it was. Did it at least have dressing on it?
Yes. Oh, yeah, of course, but, you know.
Croutons.
You know, when you're looking around thinking, okay, is it going to be chicken, or maybe we'll even get beef, you know, it's like.
Nope, so sad.
And then
so
we had to get back into what he's saying because you've now had your meal.
You're totally distracted. You're only thinking about, wow, is that it? No, that can't be it. It is it. Maybe it is. Maybe it isn't.
Right, and so then we realized, it's like, you know, quit thinking about more food. That was your lunch, and he's the speaker, and he's getting the money. So,
yeah.
Yeah, funny story, I thought, so.
Well, thanks, Tammy. Good to hear you.
Okay, you too, Ryan. Bye.
Bye. Well, that's funny. $50 a plate. I'd be like that, too. You know what's the worst? You know, can I tell you another story? I went to, we were helping a friend out. So they were getting married. My wife and I were going to attend the wedding, and there was a giant windstorm that came through the area, and what it did was knock some of the roof off of the church they were going to get married. So they had to scramble the night before in order to find another place to get married at. Luckily, there was another church that was open, and it just so happens it was the church I was going to that allowed them to come and do this. So the night before, I let them into the church. We set everything up. We did all this stuff, as much as you can do to move a wedding. And since this was a move to a new church, I had to help with the sound equipment and all the other things that were going on in the background. So I did all of that. I had no idea how to use any of the equipment. The only reason I was doing it was because I'm a radio guy, so I know how to use a soundboard. But it doesn't mean I was familiar with the way everything was set up. So I wasn't great at the way everything was set up. So after it was all done, I still had, you know, the wedding party leaves, all the guests leave or whatever it is. But it's still the church I was going to, and I didn't want to leave it where, you know, people were coming in and out. They might have left a little bit of trash here and there, whatever. So I cleaned everything else up. I set it back up for services the next day, okay, because it was a Saturday wedding. And I finally, my wife and I get over to the reception hall where they scheduled it because that wasn't damaged. And when I got there, the food was already taken down because it took me that long to clean everything up by myself in that church. So I get there. I didn't even get the meal that you get after the wedding, the thing that everyone looks forward to. I know you want to see them go up there and, oh, they're so cute. It's so great. I'm so happy for them. But deep down inside, you're like, I hope they get there quick and I hope we eat right away because I don't want to wait 2 hours while they're taking pictures, right? Everyone's like that. Oh, I hope they have something good. I wonder what the food is. I get there and the food's taken down already. Ah! Mm. So disappointing. That's what I get for helping people out. So I feel like Tammy, $50 for a salad. But that speech sounds great. I've never met Alan Keyes. I would love to meet him sometime. I wonder if he still does interviews. I don't see him regularly showing up on any of the news networks. So I wonder what he's doing with his life anymore. How about this? Valentine's Day. Okay, I know it's a month away or whatever. I saw this story. It's in Russia. Tell me if this is something you would have done. Ready? You ready? So a Russian man was in court because his girlfriend did something to him. His girlfriend. They got in an argument. She stabbed him 13 times. He almost died. 13 times you get stabbed. One stab, done. Relationship's over. 13 stabs, get her away for life. I don't want to see her again. Well, the guy realized even after the stabbings, he couldn't live without her. So while she was in court, he gets down on one knee and proposes to her at the sentencing. She faced the judge to be sentenced. He apparently proposed to the woman and begged the judge for leniency so they could actually get married. And at that point, the judge didn't know what to do, so he postponed the sentencing. Now, I have no idea how that works. It's Russia, but of course it's Russia. I got some other food stories here. How about this? This is a pretty good food story. So there's, and the BBC was reporting this, there's a diet that's been developed in order to, what they say, help save a million people a year, whatever it is. So what they're looking at is the projection of the way our planet is growing. So there's a lot of people living on this planet. And you can blink and another billion people will be here in a matter of a couple of decades. Researchers say 11 million people die each year because of a lack of food. So they said, well, what can we do? Well, if we can eat a specific diet, it would make it so we could ration our food in a certain way where all the excess stuff that we don't actually need to nourish our bodies can go and feed the rest of the world. And you know how your mom always said, you know, there's starving kids in Africa, so you better finish your plate. Well, this is kind of the idea. So they only put a little on your plate, and the idea is they're still going to make the same amount of food, but then there'll be enough for everyone at this point. So they call it the planetary health diet, and this is what they're recommending you eat a day, okay? Tell me if this sounds like enough food for you. So they want 50 grams of nuts. So that's when I looked it up, about the size of 20 cashews. They want 75 grams of beans or chickpeas. That's about 60 beans. 28 grams of fish. That's around or maybe a little bit less than one can of tuna. You're allowed to have one egg a day, less than a beef patty. So they say about 14 grams of red meat. So if you had a beef patty, like a regular size beef patty, it would be less than a regular size. And if they also say 29 grams a chicken, which is less than half of a chicken breast. I think it's almost like a third of a chicken breast. They say you're allowed to have about 232 grams a day of whole grains like bread. That's four slices of bread, one glass of milk, and then 300 grams of fruit and vegetables. Does that sound like enough to feed you for a day? So 20 nuts, can of tuna, 60 beans, one egg, four slices of bread, about a small beef patty, one glass of milk, and then some 300 grams of vegetables. No, I would say that is much lower than anyone's diet that is listening here today. Much lower. I probably eat, if you add all these grams up, that many grams of bacon in one sitting when I go out somewhere. So they say there's a lot of variety there. They say that'll help. So as long as you are mixing things up, it's not like you're eating all of the same thing over and over and over again. That's really where a lot of people get stuck in some of these diets. They said, whether it's a fantasy or not, fantasy doesn't have to be bad. It's time to dream of a good world. Taxes on red meat, some of the scientists say, are an option to try to push people this way. Of course. Go ahead and tax red meat. Are you kidding? So that's the way you force people onto your diet. Oh, wouldn't that be great? We'll just tax red meat up until no one can afford it anymore. The world population reached 7 billion in 2011. It's now around 7.7 billion. They expect it to reach 10 billion around 2050, and a number which keeps climbing. I would say people are actually slowing down when it comes to the birth rate. I just saw an article not that long ago, just right here in the United States, more or less. A lot of the younger generations really slowing down on having kids. So they say it'll save lives. Maybe that'll be enough to get people to join on. they ultimately want to ban meat altogether because all the resources that goes into taking care of cattle, but they realize that might be unrealistic. So they said, no, we'll just tax it like crazy. Why is it the answer always taxing? It's when someone comes up with a wild plan like this. Oh, yeah, you just need 4 slices of bread and a couple of cashews and you're good to go. Why is it always that to get their way, it's not trying to make an appealing case for people to get on board. It's, well, we're going to tax them to death and force them to do it. This is Overnight America, KMOX.
Hey folks, Chris Kerber here, and tomorrow night the Blues are back on home ice for some Saturday night hockey as they face off against Brady Tkachuk and the Ottawa Senators. The pregame show's at 5:30. The faceoff is at 6 o'clock right here on your home for St. Louis Blues hockey, KMOX. Let's
go Blues! Making the darkness of night a little brighter. It's Ryan Recker and Overnight America on KMOX.
.12:34 in St. Louis, Missouri. .1:34 if you're over on the East Coast. Wherever it may be, we're connecting with you border to border on Overnight America. We like to stay flexible, so if there's something you want to bring up, we will definitely hear you at 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. Let me go to Scott, who's calling in Crystal City. Scott, what's going on?
Oh, good evening, sir. How are you doing?
Good.
I just was talking about the earlier today about the population explosion that is going to happen in the world, of course. And remember, China had that one child policy there, and
yeah.
I don't know if they're still running that or not. But when we traveled the world in the Navy, we went around the world a couple of times. I mean, completely around the world on 2 cruises, and you see how some of these people eat, but a lot of it is the government, too. You know, they're not, you know, there's a lot of,
They're forcing their people into a certain,
into a certain area where they grow, you get nothing, and the government ships it out.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah, they control it. I mean, look at Venezuela, where they're major food shortages.
Very good example. Yeah. Venezuela is it's a country that keeps its own, you know. It's a corrupt... Even Mexico, I was married to a Spanish woman from Mexico for a while when I was younger, but we went to Mexico and the corruption, you know, and it's not just corruption like, oh, I got to pay this person off because I got pulled over for a traffic ticket. It's corruption all the way to the government where they're making money off of exports, and it doesn't go to the population at all.
Mm.
And these people are dying.
Yeah, what do we see in just recently, El Chapo, part of the testimony was it $10 million he gave to the former Mexican president?
$10 million to the former, Vicente Fox, I think it was. He got that, and of course, what is he going to say? Oh, yeah, of course he gave me that. No, he's not going to say that.
I'm sure they can figure it out, purchases and things.
And it's also in America, too. They say we got a problem in America, you know, but you look on the back of a comedian, but you look on the back of a pack of potato chips.
Mm-hmm.
One serving equals this and blah, blah, blah. And it says, what's a serving? It's 4 chips or something.
Yeah, you know? I know.
Who in the heck? I've never met anyone in my life that's opened a bag of chips and just said, I can only have 4. That's,
I can't.
You know, I... But you said something earlier in that statement about bacon. If everything was coated in bacon, and you don't eat that red meat, you just eat the bacon. Oh my goodness!
Just save the grease
with that.
Just save the grease. You know what I do? I normally cook for the family on Saturday mornings, which includes a pound of bacon. But anything else I cook up, you better believe I'm cooking it in that bacon grease. If there's a little sausage patty or something.
Yeah.
cook it up in the bacon grease. Oh, makes it so much better. All right,
that
Scott.
Is the best.
Good to hear from you. Thanks.
Bye. Have a good night. Bye-bye.
Yeah, there's countries. Bring up Venezuela because they're definitely having some major issues there. So Venezuela, before, they made you stand with allegiance to the country in order to get aid from them, and meaning based on, I think, your first initial or your last name, the first letter in your last name dictated what day you can go out and get their government assistance. You're breadlining it, and you had to, in order to get whatever handouts that the government was going to give to you, you had to get a special card by pledging your allegiance to them. And it got so bad where there was so little food to go around that their solution was, we're just going to start handing out rabbits to the people. You'll be in charge of mating the rabbits, and then when they grow, you just eat them. So, hey, self-sustainable food. Wonderful. Just everyone have, you know, let them eat rabbits. That was their solution. The government's terrible down there. Let me get to Mike in St. Louis. Hey, Mike, what's going on?
How you doing? Anyway, about the government shutdown?
Yeah.
Now, I get tired of it because when I go to work, my friend and her husband's not getting paid, and I got to thinking about it. Now, there's a quote in the Bible. I'm not real photograph good at quoting it. Know to do good and not to do it, it's a sin. I really think it's a sin to keep this government shut down, and let me tell you why. It's affecting a lot of good people that do work, and regardless what your political party is, I don't think it's right, and I don't think it's pleasing to God, and I think they need to open it. It's just ridiculous. That's my honest opinion, because I just think it's totally unfair, and it doesn't make any sense at all. Mm-hmm. Regardless who's president, Donald Trump, or let's be fair, whoever it is, for shutting this government down, I really think was wrong and a mistake. It's hurting good people. I don't agree with it at all.
Yeah, I don't know what else you could do, though. I mean, what are you just? I guess you could reopen
open it
and
it
nothing
up.
Changes. Then nothing changes. Is that what we want? Nothing changes?
No, they should never been closed in the first place because a lot of good people are suffering. How would you like, just put yourself in the shoe, how would you like to be put out of work, no fault of your own, because a lot of politics do something stupid? And I'm so tired of hearing about the border wall and all that implant.
I don't know.
Is.
Well, like, let's say if it was anything else but the government, I would love to have a guarantee that I'd have a job waiting for me in back pay. I would love to have that if I was out of a job, honestly. But it doesn't make things easier for them now, and it's not fair to them. But, I mean, this is the way the government works when it comes to our democracy, when we come to trying to find an agreement for budgeting and trying to figure out how we're going to pay for things. When there's a disagreement, something like this happens. It's just what happens.
I don't think it is. You know, I really think it is. I think it's greed. A lot of nothing wrong with being rich, but some people get so rich, they get so greedy, they get so selfish. Not everybody, and they're not thinking of the other people. There is a part in the Bible that says, I think Psalms 21, consider the poor, because if you don't, and blessed, because other people are suffering, and it's just not right. They're making a lot of excuses. It's really just terrible what they're doing, to be honest. What they should have did, I'm not necessarily Nancy Pelosi supporter or whatever, but one thing that she did say, or say somebody else, I think the solution is they should do something together. And if they say they got something, try something that's good, at least try it. But this stuff, to be honest, is my honest opinion. I think this government shutdown is pure nonsense, and I really do think it's a sin, and shame on them and the people supporting that.
Okay. Thanks, Mike. Good to hear from you. Have a good weekend.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Yeah, I don't know if it's necessarily a sin, but I think that at least the workers, they're going to have guaranteed back pay. That's already been signed in. It's just waiting for the government to end this shutdown. This is one of the longest ones we've ever seen. I mean, we've seen some other long ones, but I mean, going up on 30 days soon by the time we start next week, because there's really no indication it's going to end this weekend. It's totally unfortunate, and it's really not fair to the people. But government, that's how it works. And it's just, it's sad to say, it's part of the deal. When you don't have funding for the government, some things happen. Some things get shut down. And, you know, we have essential personnel. We have this, fussing and a feuding going on. It'd be easy if they could get onto the same page and negotiate, but there's no sign of even negotiation. I mean, probably the easiest thing Donald Trump could do is just make it a national emergency. If the government stays shut down for a month, maybe he'll consider that a national emergency. You know, there was a suggestion earlier that maybe he's just waiting for an exit. So maybe he's waiting for a way to get out of this, and there hasn't been a clear out yet. Maybe he was waiting for the State of the Union to make an announcement to pull a national emergency or whatever it is. I don't know if there's any way out of it other than he could just reopen the government and say, you know, that's fine. We don't need border security. You know, all of these things that we said were utmost important to the country. Yeah, we actually don't need any of these things. So we're just going to allow the same old, same old. We're not going to look at immigration policy. We're not going to try to secure the border. Whatever. We'll just kind of let this roll for as long as we feel like we need an open border for. So he can either go down that route, or he can fight it and say, well, this is really the last stand we're going to take for this sort of thing. Because if it doesn't work here, I don't think it's ever going to work during his presidency. So he's in a tough spot. The country's in a tough spot. You know, it's just as easy to say that Nancy Pelosi could agree to fund $5 billion and the government shutdown would be over. It'd be just as easy for her to say yes, and you can criticize her because of those exact same ways of logicking the whole thing. Logicking? I don't think that's a word. Putting the logic together. If you're going to say it's all Donald Trump's fault and all he has to do is continue to negotiate or give up or whatever it is, then you can say the same thing on the Democrat side. All Nancy Pelosi has to do is just give in and just say that they can negotiate. But, you know, it's not happening on either side right now. This is Overnight America, KMOX.
Keeping you up and making you think. This is Overnight America with Ryan Recker on KMOX.
Overnight America, here we are. All right, so got a couple of other stories, a couple of law stories. But we leave the flexibility up to you, whatever you want to bring up or talk about. It's 800-925-1120. That's the good number for you. Okay, here's one story out of USA Today in Tallahassee. What an absolutely insane story. Even though you factor in that the kids are 10 and 11 years old, I do not see how in the world you can treat these kids as if they're only going to get a slap on the wrist. So let's go through the incident. Leon County Schools and new law enforcement agencies out there encouraging residents to report school safety concerns after what happened to two Florida fifth graders. They brought in a wrench, pliers, and other tools, and they had a plot to kill a third student and escape in a golf cart. The incident would have happened on December 14th, outlined in a report from the police department. The two students were 10 and 11 years old. They had been suspended and recommended for expulsion following this after-school incident. Honestly, I don't know how you can't expel them. How in the world can you allow these two to come back to that school where this other student is still there? To me, it's not, don't even think twice about it. I would kick them out of the school district. I wouldn't care. I don't care if their parents have to drive them a half hour to get to another school. I don't care. I would say you're nowhere, no longer are you going to be even close to any of the school that this other kid already attends. So this is what happened. Principal Kim McFarland told officers that two of these fifth grade students planned and put out a plot to murder another student. The 11-year-old victim and one other student who planned to harm the victim previously were involved in an altercation on December 10th. One of the suspected plotters approached the victim and told him he was going to kill him. The one person that had that told to him told school administrators and put the other students in a timeout. He didn't like that they were in timeout. How bad is it where you have to deal with this? You are not equipped as a fifth grader to understand that there are people out there that would honestly hurt you. They would want to kill you. It's you just do not comprehend that there's other kids out there that are capable of doing that. So 3 days later, after the one kid told on the other two who said that I'm going to kill you, a girl told the victim a secret, which the victim didn't want to hear. The girl later told the two suspect investigators the victim was spreading rumors about her. They then threatened the victim that they were going to take care of him and kill him. So the two suspected kids drew a map out of the school campus. They tried to figure out an area where there'd be no cameras, and they plotted it out into this garden area. The next day, one of the students brought a bag to school with a wrench, a baseball, batting gloves, adjustable clamp pliers, a multi-tool with a blade on it. The students showed it to other students, and they were even starting to use phrases like snitches get stitches. Another student told investigators the two students said they had gloves so there would be no fingerprints. Watching too much of this TV stuff, as if they're trying to find ways to make sure there was no evidence left behind. After school, the two suspects plotted what they were going to do next. And they said to the one victim, hey, do you want to go see this secret hideout we have? Oh, secret hideout. It's awesome. Victim said no, because he started hearing some of the other things that these other kids were already saying. Like, well, you're showing up to school with pliers and knives and things. So I don't think so. So he ran to a supervisor, said the two students were going to kill him. The two students who were called into the principal's office were searched. They found all the tools, and they played dumb. They said, oh, no, 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 no. No, we weren't going to take the pliers to torture him. Oh, we weren't going to use this knife to stab him. Oh, we weren't going to use these gloves to hide our fingerprints. It's just a misunderstanding. You know, we were just going to beat him up. A week after the incident, they sent letters to parents and said that, hey, if you are talking to your kids about crazy things like this, one of the most important things you can do is coach them that if they see something, say something. See something, say something. Honestly, how in the world can these two kids go back to the same school? How can they not be expelled for life out of that school district? I don't care that they're 10 and 11. It doesn't matter. They need to be gone. For the safety of the other kids and the safety of that one kid who told on them, is it really a smart or fair idea for that one victim to always have to look over his shoulder with these other two kids still going to that school, wondering if one day they're actually going to retaliate because of all of this? Just absolutely ridiculous. Well, here's another story out of Indianapolis. This is a completely different twist of events. So here's one that was a surprise ending. Prosecutors say a man who fired at three burglars, killing one, will not face criminal charges. So here's how it went down. About 4 p.m. last Thursday, a 59-year-old woman reported a home getting burglarized on the southeast side of Indianapolis. So she reported it, and she guess she knew who the people that lived there and said, hey, someone went into your house. It looks like they're stealing some of your stuff. So sometime that night, the burglars broke in and stole a washer, a television, according to the records. So the guy went back to his house. Maybe they weren't there, but he said, you know what? We're going to be there if these two knuckleheads decide to come back. We're going to be armed, and we're going to defend ourselves if they break into this house. And that's exactly what they did. Three men pulled into the driveway late at night. The son called 911. This is how they said it went down. As the person went in, he said the person had something in his hand. He said he thought it was a gun. As soon as they opened the door, they fired at the people breaking into the house. One guy was shot. He ended up being killed. He, you know, turned around, made it a few steps, I guess, onto the grass, but that was it. The other two ran back into the car and fled. Now, they were able to get a license plate. They found out where this car was registered to. They went and arrested the two, 47-year-old Benjamin Gardner and 40-year-old Kevin Laymaster, both arrested in connection with this fatal shooting. They are not charging the person that shot and killed the one breaking into the home because he wasn't there alone. There was other witnesses, and they both said he had something in his hand, fired multiple times, didn't know if he struck the guy or not. So dark out. They definitely knew they hit the window of the van that people were driving. No criminal charges filed against the shooter in the incident. It's hard to have sympathy for someone that may enter. Oh, they did find a weapon on the person, by the way. I should mention that. So the one person that was shot did have a weapon on them. It's hard to find sympathy for someone that breaks into a home, mostly because I think about my own home. If someone's breaking into my house, you better guarantee that person will, it's shoot to kill. You do not play a game. Their intention to break into your house is not polite. It's definitely there to do harm. You cannot assume that the person that is going to be there will not resort to bodily harm for you and your family. There is no hesitation that a lot of listeners here tonight would do the exact same thing if they felt like they were threatened in their own home. So it's hard to find sympathy for these knuckleheads breaking into homes, and the one loses his life. I hope it was worth it for going back for the water heater. And anyone that goes and tries to live their life and they think this is what they need to do in order to make a living or whatever, they were selling it for whatever, who knows, who cares? Not worth your life for that stupid water heater. And it's on you. All right, one more hour of Overnight America coming up. Boy, we could use some good stories right about now. This is KMOX.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.